Hey, so we've been, last week we started a three-week thing, a three-week series of how to find God's unique lane for your life. And today's going to be part two of that. Last week, we asked the question, what comes naturally to you? Naturally being that it's God's gift. It's not something that we just say, well, it's just easy for me to do, but it's actually, we recognize that that particular thing that's easy for us to do is actually something that God's placed in us. And that's why it's easy, because he's woven it into our DNA when we were being formed in our mother's womb. We looked at understanding that we are unique, so we figured out that we understand that when God made us, he broke the mold. There's no one exactly like you on this earth. When he made you, he broke the mold. Yeah. And so you're unique. So we recognize that, and we also recognize that that particular fact and that particular ability that we have is something that God gave us. We acknowledge that God gave that to us. And then we finally looked at the process or the step. All right, Lord, now I need to practice, rehearse, repeat, hone it. I need to get better at it for your glory. And so that's kind of where we were last week in that, the first part of it. How to discover and find God's lane for your life is that unique gift that God's given each one of you. I hope you've been able to think about that a little bit. Hey, Lorenzo, come up here. I hope you've been able to think about that a little bit and give some time to prayer for that and say, Lord, what is it about me that is unique? I was actually talking to Lorenzo about this on Monday. Isn't this a fine young man right here? Don't you just love Lorenzo? Yeah. Yeah, love Lorenzo. You're such a blessing. But I was talking to you, Lorenzo, on Monday, and maybe you just shared with me some really cool things about... now, for those of you who don't know, Lorenzo takes care of, and he oversees the team that takes care of the physical campus, cutting the grass and repairing things and changing out stuff, whatever the case may be. So thank you for that. But one of the things that that you were going to do is change some air filters out, and it was the wrong size that was shipped to us, so you had to go to Home Depot. And at first we thought, man, that was kind of a hassle. You got to go to Home Depot. You had to go to Home Depot. Not like it's that far away, for crying out loud, but still, yeah, it's a long way away. Bless your heart. But you had to stop what you were doing and go to Home Depot. But then something happened. And I want you to just share the story just quickly as to what the Lord did in that, what we would call an oops, an accident, but God was in it.
Good morning. So let's just start off by saying Pastor B ordered the wrong filters, which I thought. He didn't. He ordered the right filters. They just shipped the wrong ones to us. And it didn't cross my mind to say, why didn't he just get it at Home Depot, right? And why did he have to order them? Duh, they didn't have them at Home Depot. That's why he ordered them. So I go to Home Depot to get the filters, the right filters, and I love to talk. If I pin you in the corner, I'm not letting you go. I love to talk. I love to talk to people. I love people. And I saw a man with his hood up, and I said, you know what? If he's still there on my way out, I'm going to stop and see what I can do to help him, because I love helping people. You know, sometimes I can't help it. It's an impulse. It just pokes at me. So I go over there and talk to the man, and you know, his battery was shot. And I'm sitting there trying to give him a jump start. So I switched batteries because his didn't work. So I, in the process, I'm talking to him. I'm telling him, he said, man, I don't want to take up your whole day. I said, no, I'm just working next door at the church. By the way, do you go to a church? I invited him to church, and, you know, I presented the plan. The man broke down. And told me that he was struggling with something, and he told me that I don't want to get too specific, do I? Okay, all right. He told me he was struggling with drinking, and that he would have been to the liquor store if his car wouldn't have broke down. So that intervention that God put in the way, that it started. How long ago did you order the filters? So it's just amazing how the Lord works. So I invited him to church. He broke down. He was talking to me about it. You know, just to be that open with a full stranger. I'd never seen the man in my life. And it's just amazing how God works.
Yeah, so stay there. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah. So Lorenzo, again, I ordered those filters about a week before. Ordered the right size. I mean, I looked at the whole thing, but they shipped the wrong size. We think, man, that's an accident. But God knew. He said he had the guy in the warehouse pick the wrong filters out and ship them to us, right? So that made you have to go to Home Depot at that particular time, on that particular day, to run into that guy at that exact time, so that, and you said, I just like to talk to people. Do you hear him say that? I just like to talk to people. Get me to the corner. I'm just going to talk to you. And so that's one thing. And then you said, I just like to help people. It's just in me. I just like to help people. So those two things, right, let's just stop right there, because as we were talking on Monday, and then you said something in the conversation, like, you know, I was really thinking about your message yesterday, and I really don't know what's special about me. I don't really know what's unique about me. I said, let's just stop right there. Because as you told me that story, you actually told me what's special about you. Because not everybody would stop and help someone. Not everybody would as talkative as you. And you don't have that ability to, you know, a lot of people don't have the ability to talk. You just love to talk. And that's a great thing. See, you think for you, that's just normal. Everybody's like that. That's nothing special. But that is special. Because there's a lot of quiet people out there. And there's some people that would just, there was probably 9 out of 10 people that would walk right by that guy and never help him. But you're the 1 out of 10 that stops and helps. That makes you unique. Because God placed that in your DNA to never meet a stranger, and also to be desiring to help. And so I wanted to use that example, Lorenzo, for us, because we think, I think, sometimes that, well, what's unique and special about me? I can't preach, I can't sing, I can't do like church stuff, right? But I can talk to people, I can never meet a stranger, I can take some time and invest to say, hey, how can I help you? That's unique to you. And again, not everybody's like that. If I took a survey right now, I would probably have 1 out of 10 people that would be like, if you say, yeah, I'll stop and help. Or I'd probably have 1 out of 10 people that say, man, I could just talk to a tree, you know, and just have a conversation with the tree. But most people just don't, right? So that makes you unique. And that's what I'm trying to say is, for each of us, what is unique about you that's not over the top, over, you know, ministry type stuff, you know, or like traditional ministry type stuff, but what is actually something that you think is ordinary, but actually is unique to you, that makes you special? When God made you, he broke the mold. No one is exactly like you. No one is exactly like any of us. So that's my point, is it doesn't have to be some massive Billy Graham sort of thing, right? It could be walking by someone at the Home Depot and saying, hey, how can I help you? That makes you unique. And so give it up for Lorenzo. All right, love you. That's the idea of what I think I was trying to get at last week, is what makes us unique. And we need to be careful not to excuse away the abilities that we have and the way that we're wired as just ordinary. It may be ordinary to you. It may be easy for you, but it's hard for other people. You know, so now that doesn't mean Lorenzo's perfect. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect. That doesn't mean that any of us are perfect. You don't have to wait to get to a certain level to say, all right, Lord, now I'm ready for you to use me. Just let him use you right there where you are, and be how God wired you right there where you are, and take those opportunities that were there. I know that Lorenzo didn't go to Home Depot on that Saturday thinking, I'm going to run into somebody and minister to them. No, he was just doing his thing, and God orchestrated it a week before with the wrong filter from the warehouse so that he can get him there at that right time and invite that man to church, minister to him the hope that he has in Jesus Christ, knowing that the man knows full well about Jesus, because I think that was part of the conversation, was he wasn't like, who's Jesus? He knows who Jesus is. And so he was able to plant the water in that man's life, and God's going to bring the increase. But thank you, Lorenzo, for being faithful, and thank you for each one of you as you are faithful in that those things that you do. Amen. So the next thing that we ask today is, so the first one is how to find God's lane in your life. The first question we asked was, what comes naturally to you? In other words, what's that God-given ability? The second clue that we have to discover God's unique lane for our life is, what are you passionate about? So write that down if you're taking notes. What are you passionate about? Now, probably a good way to ask this is, what gets you up in the morning? Now, you may get up and drag yourself to school, but that's not passion. That's a requirement. You'll be truant officer will come after you. That's not a passion. You may get up singing the Seven Dwarfs song in your head. You know the one I'm talking about. I owe, it's off to work I go. That one, you know? So you may sing that song, but that's not a passion. That's a responsibility. You may get up and get you some breakfast. That might be your motivation. Get up, just got to get that, you know, whatever it is that you get. But that's not a passion. Those are called hunger pains, okay? Just FYI. And also, you may not even be officially up until you have that first or that second or that third cup of coffee. Yeah, they got an amen corner for that one. But I hate to tell you, that's not a passion either. That's called a chemical dependency. So anyway. Maybe the better way to ask this is what excites you when you think about it? It's not I have to. I don't have to go to school. I don't have to go to work. I get to do this. It's what's instinctively that we gravitate towards. It's saying, I can't wait until I get to do blank, whatever that is. We're all like that. We get through what we have to do so that we can get to what we want to do and what we passionately love to do. I'll name a few things, and I might hit on some of them, but it's certainly not an exhaustive list. Maybe you like to go fishing, hunting, four-wheeling, aerobics, weightlifting. Maybe you like to cook. You like to bake. Maybe you like to do craft making. Maybe you like to play sports. Maybe you like to go camping. I don't know. I'm just trying to prime the pump here to give you an understanding of what you like to do. Nothing at all, by the way, wrong with any of these things. These activities are great. They are healthy pastimes. They're healthy passions that help make us a more well-rounded person and potentially help us to let off some steam. But there's also some other passions that are not so healthy that we give in to, reaching for that next drug high, getting drunk, partying with friends, feeding the wandering eye of lust, pursuing ill-gotten financial gain. A lot of different things that we can get involved with that we can passionately pursue that are actually unhealthy and lead to all kinds of destruction. Fact is this. Everybody in this place, everybody in the sound of my voice, we all have passion. Because passion is something that God put in us as the ability to have. We're not just sitting there like a, you know, not on a log, living our lives without any emotion or any urges or passions or desires or moving in any direction. None of us are. None of us are in a coma. None of us are vegetables. All of us have a passion to do something. Now, when we hear the word passion, many of us think that maybe like these two people that are maybe enjoying a passionate kiss or a passionate embrace. Think about that word passion. It tells us these two people are truly, deeply, passionately into one another. And by the way, that passion for those two people that are engaging in that can either be love or lust. Because both love and lust can be passionate. I can passionately love. I can also passionately lust. Passion is defined in the Bible as this: strong feelings, deep emotional connection, intense desire. Every time it's used in the Bible, that's what it means. And so that can go two different ways, depending on how we give into it or apply it in our lives. Passion is what we direct our energies to. Now, you probably, I know when I was putting this together, I thought about the movie, The Passion of the Christ. We always think about that Passion Week and you know, the Passion Play and different things like that. That word passion is used a lot. In that week that Jesus, that last week that Jesus lived on the earth leading up to his crucifixion. And that movie, The Passion of the Christ, which was a very sobering and powerful movie, it depicted the suffering of Jesus before he was crucified. His suffering that he experienced was rooted in his passion for you and for me. And so if we take that definition of passion, it was his strong feelings, his deep emotional connection, and his intense desire to do what God asked of him to do. And that simply was, not simply, simply defined, but not simply done, to die for our sins so that you and I could be reconciled back to God the Father. That was Christ's passion. That was his singular pursuit. So really it boils down to what we do with our passions, because we all have passions. Because the passion that we have can go in two directions. It can go healthy or unhealthy. It can go holy or unholy. It can go pure or tainted. It can go selfless or selfish. It can go constructive or destructive. Now, we've seen tons of examples of that in history, of people that take their passions and use them in evil ways. I was thinking about this again, about an example that I think we all could probably understand, that Adolf Hitler passionately opposed the Jewish race. And he got to a place and a position where ultimately that passion killed over 6 million Jews. And not only killed 6 million Jews in the Holocaust, but it also drew the world into a world war that killed millions more because of that one man's singular passionate pursuit that was taken and moved in an evil way. And even today, if I can just add to that, there's a passionate anti-Semitism and hatred of the Jews that's going on, that seems to be really ramping up in the last couple of years, ever since October 7th attack that took place in Israel. This hatred for the Jews, it's actually turning the world upside down right now, because there's people that are just passionately protesting. They're passionately passing laws. They're passionately murdering Jews or anyone who stands up for them all over the world. What's going on? I mean, that's another message for another day, but the fact is that people can be passionate in very destructive ways. And here's what's going on. As a rule, Satan loves to take what God places in us. And he loves to, in this case, our ability to be passionate about something. And he loves to lure us away into unholy and destructive actions. Use the example of Lorenzo, if I can, just real quick. Lorenzo loves to talk to people. What if he took that passion of loving to talk to people and decided he was going to talk to some women? I love to talk to women. And all of a sudden that leads into something that maybe might not be so healthy, right? Because he's got it in his heart in a particular way, that passion is going to be to an end, to the purpose of what I want to do in this conversation. I want to read to you something out of James. It's a warning that James, that the Holy Spirit gives us, out of James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire. And if I can take that evil desire and insert in their perverted passion, so I'll say that again. Each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil, perverted passion and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to what? Death. That's the journey. Also, 1 Peter 2:11 gives a similar warning. It says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires. Or again, if I can insert that phrase, perverted passions. So abstain from perverted passions which wage war against your soul. Satan wants nothing more than to take those passions that you have, pervert them, and condemn you to ultimate death, which means eternal separation from God. You see, as followers of Jesus, we're enemies of Satan. As a follower of Christ, you are at war with Satan, and Satan is at war with you. And so our foe, who is Satan, checks us out, and he identifies what we're uniquely passionate about. He goes, oh, okay, you like to do this. You enjoy doing that. You are really, what excites you most is that particular thing or those things in your life. So he takes and he researches it out. He observes you from afar and he puts together a plan. And what he does, and by the way, it could be something innocent and healthy like those hobbies that I mentioned earlier, but then he figures out a way to tempt us and then to pervert it. In other words, turn it evil and turn it destructive and drag us away from that healthy place that we have in Christ, that we're functioning in it in a healthy way. And he entices us in it, and he turns our passion sinful and deadly. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm here to warn you this morning, don't let Satan do it. Guard your passions. Guard your heart. The Bible says the heart is the soul, it's the well, it's the beginning, it's the foundation, it's the source of everything that we do. So, and that you can say your passions, those sort of things that make your heart beat fast, that excite you, that you just can't wait to get to. Satan identifies, God knows what they are. He's placed them in you. But Satan also knows what they are, and he wants to take them and pervert them to take you, not only to be effective for the Lord, but to lead you to death. He don't care. He doesn't care about you. But here's the thing. Satan has zero originality in him. Satan does not create anything. He doesn't know how to create. What he does, he takes what God's created and he perverts it. He twists it. He manipulates it. He makes it look good. The Bible says there's a way that seems good to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So he makes it look good at first. Oh, it's not going to hurt anybody. Oh, you can go ahead and do that for a little bit. Oh, it's okay. He takes it and he perverts it, God's good creation. He's like one of those creatures that can't survive unless they leech off of its host. Satan is a leech. He's a leech. All he does is suck the life and health out of what he's attached to. It reminds me of another movie. It's the second movie reference today, but I was thinking about this too, and it just reminded me of the movie Independence Day from back in the 1990s. If you're familiar with the scenario, the synopsis of it, these aliens came with these big old spaceships, and they were all over the world, and they attacked at one time. And, of course, you know, we conquered them. Yay, go humanity. But the aliens' singular goal is that they went from planet to planet to drain the resources dry. They were unconcerned of the death and destruction that they caused, and then they move on to their next victim. That's what the aliens did. And that's what they realized the humanity did, and they were able to stop them at Earth. Satan is the same way. He takes our God-given ability, our resources that God's placed in us, to be passionate about the gifts that God has placed in us, and he perverts them to destroy us. Satan mockingly laughs and moves on to his next victim as we look around at our utter destruction that is our lives that we've allowed Satan to leave in his wake. You know, I'll give you a more personal example for each of us in this place. I don't know if that list that I gave you earlier resonates in you. Like, yeah, I love to fish. I love to cook. I love to whatever. Well, let me just make this more personal. He can take your passion for fishing. Nothing wrong with it. Man, fish. But he can keep you away from church on Sundays if you're not careful. He can take your passion for weightlifting. Nothing wrong with that. I know there's some people in here that are buff, man. You're doing good. I want you to walk down a dark alley with me, you know, in a scary city. You're my buddy on those days. But he can take that passion that you have for weightlifting, and he can make you a narcissistic, give you a narcissistic love for your bodies. All of a sudden, you're worshiping your body. See how he perverts it. He can take your passion for cooking and baking, and he can make you a glutton. He can take your passion for sports, and you can make sports a god. The list goes on and on and on. You see what I'm talking about? Those passions that we have that are healthy, they're good. But Satan says, how can I twist it? How can I pervert it? How can I keep them from God? How can I keep those passions and abilities from glorifying God, from promoting God's kingdom? What can I do to destroy, to twist it around? Because, you see, Satan's job, his job description in John 10:10 says that Satan is out to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he does it by any means and at any cost. And he could care less about you or the damage that he creates. So I just encourage you today to constantly stay on alert and guard your passions and make sure that you're always directing those passions towards God-honoring endeavors in all that God has gifted for you. The Bible says to seek first God's kingdom, and then all these other things are going to be added to you. In other words, let your passion for those things that you do well be directed towards God's kingdom first and foremost, because that's the order that God will bless. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, it says, at one time we too were foolish. We were disobedient, we deceived and enslaved by all kinds of perverted passions. I added the word perverted passions and pleasures. We lived in malice, which is really a desire to harm others. That's what malice means. We lived in envy. We lived being hated and hating one another. Sounds like a really pleasant life, doesn't it? I hate you, you hate me. Hey, you know. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, think about that. When Jesus showed up, he took all that stuff. He saved us, not because of righteous things that we'd done. Man, we didn't earn that. We don't deserve it. But he showed up because of his mercy, it says. And he saved us through the washing and the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Isn't that great news? Isn't that the greatest news? I mean, there's a lot of bad news out there. I just gave you the best, greatest news out there. Jesus took where we were, saved us, and made us his own. He took all of our perverted passions and said, let's convert them back to how they needed to be. What I placed in you, your abilities and the passion to do it, let's do that to glorify God now. Stop hating and being hated and wanting to hurt people and doing all that stuff that Titus just mentioned. That's some good news. I don't want to be like that group of people that hate and are hated and have malice and perversion. I don't want to be like that. Do you? You want to be that way? I don't think you do. I mean, if you're here today, I'm hoping that maybe you're leaning towards not being that way. But how about let's just go all in and say, Lord, I don't want to be that way. I want you to wash me by your Holy Spirit, by your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and take these abilities and these passions that you placed in my heart. And I want from this day on to glorify you in those things. In our sin, before Christ, we took our God-given ability to be passionate about what we do well. We allowed Satan to lure us away from really into all sorts of destructive behavior. But I'm so thankful for God's mercy, aren't you? That through Jesus' passionate sacrifice for us, he's redeemed us. Now, we can take that ability to be passionate and direct it towards the things that God has uniquely designed for us to walk in. So here's the point. God's lane for you is more clearly revealed. If you're trying to figure out what's God's will for my life, I hear this, so I don't even know what God's will is for my life. We're trying to define that. What is God's giftings? What are you passionate about? So God's lane for you is more clearly revealed as you look at the God-given talents and abilities that are unique to you. You know, those things that you do well that others can't do, those things that come easy for you that are hard for others, those things that you excuse away as ordinary and not that special, but are in fact quite special gifts from God. Just like Lorenzo, where I just like to hang around people. I talk with people. It comes easy for me, and I just want to help people. That's unique to him. Even though a lot of people are that way, not uniquely how he is. And so that's a special thing. Those are a couple of special things for him. So God takes those things in his life, our lives, and he places in us a passion to do it. You know, you just absolutely love doing that thing or being that way. Others may not have any desire. You might have heard of Lorenzo says, I would never talk to someone, just cold, you know, cold conversation, just a cold call, basically. Hey, how you doing? Where are you from? What you do for a living? Tell me about yourself. I would never do that, you would say. I would never do that. That's not me at all. I would never stop and say, can I help you? Because I'm busy, man. I got to be somewhere. And, they may ask me something I don't know what to do. And I would never do that. That's all right. We'll let Lorenzo do that because that's the way God wired him. But there's something that you would do that Lorenzo would go, I would never do that. I would never do that. That's just not me. Why would you even want to do that? You know, you may not have a desire. You may not even understand how that person thinks, how that person talks, how that person can act that way. And even thinking about that just makes you just go, it just scares you to death. But as you are thinking about it, that thing that God's placed in you, it actually makes your heart race with excitement. Again, Lorenzo's like, I can't wait to talk to people. I just love talking with people. I can't wait. This is so exciting. And others of you, you'd almost rather throw up, right? Now, but how can you take that excites you? How can you take that? Lorenzo, I've been talking about you, buddy, and you've been out of here. Where you been? none of it was good. It was all bad stuff. They'll have to tell you later. All right. Now that you're back in, I got to talk good stuff about you. Okay. How can you take that that you have an ability to do and that excites you and use it for God's glory? So, again, let's go back to those examples. Are you passionate about fishing or hunting? Some of you is like, nah. Others is like, yeah, I am. Okay, let's use that as an example. Why not find others? Because you're not the only guy out there that loves to hunt and fish, or the only girl that out there that likes to hunt and fish. You're not. There's a lot of people out there that love to hunt and fish. Why not find others that love to hunt and fish? They have that same passion, and invite them to go with you and be Jesus to them in the process. Not a bad idea. It's a good idea, Pastor. How about you create a simple Bible study or just have an intentional conversation with them about the Lord and how you can take that conversation, that similar ability, and kind of like how Jesus did, use it like as a parable, you know? Because Jesus always talked about farming and animals and stuff like that because the people then understood that. It was a very agricultural society, you know? He didn't talk about science and, you know, all this sort of stuff. He met them where they were in that understanding and then led them to an understanding of who he was. We can do the same thing with our fishing and hunting or baking or, you know, weightlifting or sports activities or hiking or whatever it is that God's placed in our hearts to do. And we can point them, see how it connects to how God is in that activity, how God has made them to be that particular type of person. Well, you can really glorify God in that. You can glorify God as you're fishing. You can glorify God as you're baking or whatever. You can do the same with all the examples, four-wheeling, aerobics, you know, all the stuff, everything, anything. And again, that's not an exhaustive list. So all these and more can bring glory to God. So what is it that you love to do? Whether it's an activity like, you know, hiking or fishing or baking, or whether it's just being a good talker and wanting to help people and being a listening ear, or maybe you just have a compassion for people that maybe goes to help out people that are maybe down and out. Maybe you want to go to a nursing home. Maybe you want to go to, you know, things like that. Just whatever. So don't just make it like this thing of, well, I don't hike and I don't bake. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whatever it is that's in you that you think is just normal and ordinary, run-of-the-mill, but it's actually unique to you that God placed in you. How can you take that and say, God, I want that to be a ministry? And I tell you what, actually it could be a Life Together group. What's a Life Together group? We have Life Together groups here at the church. And on September the 7th, about a month from now, we're going to have our On-Ramp Sunday. What is an On-Ramp Sunday? It's a day where you can join in, be part of the Life Together groups that we have. And I'm going to be calling some of the leaders here in the next week or two to work out some things and make sure that we're all on the same page on that. But there's some that exist, and there's a lot of good ones that we have here at the church. But there's some that don't exist because the Lord's still waiting for you to step up and say, well, I'll do a Life Together fishing group or a Life Together baking group or a Life Together whatever group, whatever that passion is. So here's the thing. If the Lord has put in your heart something to do, this passion, and you feel like that maybe you can get two or three other people or five or six other people or 10 or 12 other people, whatever the case may be, and do it once a month, once a quarter, whatever, and you don't know exactly the process from, you know, point A to point B, talk to me and I'll help you. And we'll coordinate it, organize it. I'm not going to lead it, but man, I'll give you opportunity, structure, place, announcements, all of that sort of stuff. And then we'll go through the journey together. And man, we can have some Life Together groups here that are just revolved and centered around passionate, similar passions that we have that somehow can bring glory to God, whether it's encouraging one another or whether it's taking that thing and going out into the community or both. All of us can, all of us should, all of us must do something like that. Take those passions and let's point people to Jesus as we do it. Let's make a ministry out of it. You know, you can take fishing and make a ministry out of it. Baking and make a ministry out of it. Aerobics and make a ministry out of it. All those things. Ecclesiastes 9:10, the first section of it says, whatever you your hands find to do, do it with all your might. It's not just preaching. It's not just singing. It's not just the traditional other traditional church activities or ministries that God can use to point people to Jesus. It's what you do. It's what you do. It's your God-given talent. And that God-given passion in it that he wants to use for his glory. So whatever you do, whatever you find to do, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. It says in Colossians 3:23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, I'm not sure what that looks like in your life, but I do know that all of a sudden the sky's the limit. I do know that what I just described to you this morning just takes the lid off of what ministry is, and it opens it up to countless options for all of us. As many as there are people in here is what it opens up to for opportunities to take that gifting and use it to glorify God. God can take anything, and I mean anything, that you give to him and use it for his glory as you represent Jesus in it. Now, this is a scripture that we hear often that relates to giving of money, but I want to use it to expand and use it for what we're talking about this morning. It's found in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see how that scripture that we, again, hear so often about just give to the Lord some money, how you can take that and realize, wait a minute, it's whatever he's placed in my care to steward, whether it be money, talents, time, you name it. Those resources that he's placed in my life, I'm not going to give it sparingly, but I'm going to give it generously. So here's what we can say to this. If you hold back those talents, if you don't invest them primarily into the kingdom of God, but you invest them primarily for your own self and your own gain, if you sit on them, if you are stingy with them, if you hold back not just activities, but also words of encouragement, that kind deed, that time to spend with someone or some people, if you decide in your heart that you're not going to take those God-given talents and do much of anything with them for the Lord, or if what you do with a bad attitude, or you do it because you have to, or you do it begrudgingly, any of those things, you will reap what you sow. You'll have a sparse return. It'll be a poor crop. It won't amount to much. But if you take those God-given talents and those gifts, and you take the passion that God has placed in you to do them, and you combine the talents and the passions together, and you direct them generously and cheerfully and wholeheartedly towards people that God loves and Jesus died for, you will reap a generous reward from God. There will be an abundant harvest in your life. How many wants an abundant harvest in your life? Man, I tell you what, there's nothing like it when you're just investing and you're sowing, and then you see the results. As we said last week, as we're faithful in the little, God's going to entrust us to be faithful in much more. So that we go back to our scripture in Corinthians, it says, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So God's saying, all right, you're taking those talents and abilities and the passion that I placed in you to do it. And as you do it, and you're faithful in it, I'm going to help you abound in those things. Abounds, that's a great word. Now here's the thing, I speak from experience. It can sometimes get discouraging as we invest and pour into others. And you think, man, I don't know what else I need to do. I just pour and pour and pour. I plant and water, and I'm not seeing much increase. And I was talking to someone about that this morning. It's like, you know, there's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can do. You plant and water. You cannot save people. You cannot rescue people. You cannot deliver people. Only Jesus can do that. We're responsible to plant and water. That's it. And as we're faithful in those abilities, in those passionate pursuits, as we stay passionate, as we stay focused, as we plant and water, God promises to bring the increase. That's all that we can do. Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, or in other words, never be lacking in passion. But keep your spiritual fervor or passion serving the Lord. That's such a key verse right there. Don't give up. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get discouraged. Take those giftings and that passion that he's placed in you and plant, whether it's one person or 100. It doesn't matter. Are you faithful in it? Passion is a gift from God, and being passionate about something is something God places in us to be excited about what we're doing. I just cannot imagine that God would call us to do anything and it be a drudgery. That doesn't sound like the kind of God I serve. Now, it may be hard, but it won't be boring. And it may be a struggle at times, but it also has its rewards. You may not see instant results, but I promise you, because the Bible says so, that a harvest of blessing will eventually come. So that gift from God that he placed in your DNA, that ability that he ingrained into you as you were being formed in your mother's womb, God combines with a passion that gets you motivated and gets you moving into that space and in that place that God has designed for you, that unique lane that his good and acceptable and perfect plan for your life can be realized. God's gifting and God's passion. Boy, you put those together, it makes a powerful combination. It's potent. I'm going to close with this and have Tim get ready. But Kelly and I went to a boutique earlier this week, and we ran into a young lady there who was a worker there. Her name was Emma. And boy, she was outgoing, and she was happy. She was friendly. She got to talking with us because one of her giftings is talking. And come to find out, she's a Christian psychology major, and she's a rising junior. So she wants to help children. She wants to help teens in their mental struggles from a biblically-based foundation. I know that's what Kevin does, and Joseph, and that your team does that similar thing. She sees that need. She grew up in the church, the same church that she attends now. I'm going to say she's probably about 20 years old, grew up in that church, and she serves there with enthusiasm. She began to just talk about how she organizes community outreaches, and she teaches Sunday school to the children, and it's just, you could tell that she was just passionate about it. And it was such an encouraging conversation. No one has to coax her into doing that she's doing. No one has to beg her or bribe her to do those things. She wants to do it. It's her gift that God's given her, and she's directing her passion to take her God-given gift and talents and use them to grow God's kingdom. Kelly and I were so impressed with her, and really I expect that she'll be doing some great things for God's kingdom in the future, even greater than she's doing right now. So I use that as an example, and there's a whole lot of folks here at Faith as well that are doing the same thing, and I honor you. I encourage you to continue. I applaud you for what you're doing to make a difference for God's kingdom, and those talents and the passion that's connected with those talents to continue to do what you're doing for the Lord. Keep it up in this community for God's kingdom through this church. You do what you do because you want to, and it shows, not because you have to. It's your passion. Now, does it come with challenges? Yes, you bet it does. But your talent and your passion combined to make you an unstoppable force for God's kingdom. You're an unstoppable force for God's kingdom. That talent and that passion with that talent, as you're applying it to the kingdom of God, makes you an unstoppable force. Turn to someone and say, you're an unstoppable force. Yeah. You know, it's easy to lead you because you're already moving. It's a lot easier to steer a car that's not stuck in park, you know? Now, on the flip side of that, there's some others of us today who haven't quite stepped into what God has for us. You're stuck in park. You actually are not an unstoppable force because you're not even moving. Now, wiggle and squirm all you like, and that's okay. That means I'm doing my job well today. But today, God is reminding you once again to step up and to step in to that gifting that he's woven into your DNA. You cannot remove what's in your DNA, even if you tried. You are who you are because God made you how you are, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious thing. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. You're not broken. You're not warped. You're not strange. You're peculiar. And that's a good thing, because the Bible says that God has made us to be a peculiar people. His desire is to harness the passions that he's placed in you and redirect them to take that ability with the passions and do something powerful and productive for his kingdom. So I ask you today, when are you going to get that thing into gear? Let it be today. Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Set up an appointment. Let's talk about it. I'll help you. I won't do it for you, but I'll help you. I want to see you fulfill God's plans and purposes in your life. That's my privilege. That's my joy to do that. I can't be you. And I can't do what God's called you to do, no more than it could be the other way around. But man, I can sure encourage you and point you in the direction and just mentor, you know, and I don't know, walk on the journey with you, whatever it takes. So here's some clues to find out what God's lane for your life is. First one, discover what your God-given talents are. In other words, what comes easy to you. Second one today is, we looked at, what are you passionate about? What excites you when you think about it? Those two things are two huge indicators as to what God wants to do through you for his glory. So next week, we're going to get the third one. And that'll be combined with these first two. And that'll help us to determine, as clearly as I've experienced in my life, how we can determine what God's will is for us, what that lane is for our lives. So, amen. 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 Stay with me, if you will. And let's just take this to prayer. Heavenly Father, we are nothing without you. And we recognize in these last couple of weeks that, wow, wait a minute. What has seemed to be like kind of a dim sort of understanding of who I am is becoming much more clear, because I recognize that I am unique, and that uniqueness comes from you as a God-given gift. And that you placed in me is to use for your glory. Okay. I recognize more clearly today, Lord, that passion, that thing that excites me, that thing that I get to do, that I enjoy so much, that's something you placed in me as well. And both of those things are there so that I can glorify you. Lord, what does that look like for each of us today? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Show us. Show us right now. What does that look like? Show us this week. What does that look like? Help us to walk that out. Take that first baby step in that direction. Take that we already do, and show us what we can do to adjust it and to apply it to the things that would glorify you and expand your kingdom and represent Christ well. Oh man, what a fun place that's going to be when we can fish and glorify you in it, when we can bake and glorify you in it, when we can play sports and glorify you in it, when we can do these things that excites us and we just can't wait, we just love to do it, and bonus, we can glorify you in it. We can build your kingdom in it. We can represent Jesus well in it. Bonus. That's a win-win. Show us what that looks like. Show us what that looks like. Thank you, Lord, for this practical but actually life-changing sort of truth that we're looking at these last couple of Sundays. We're just going to just rest in this, sit in this for a while and just say, Lord, here we are in the middle of summer, getting ready to put it back into gear with school starting up now, and man, we're getting headed towards the, you know, the fall and all that. And balls, we don't want to just blow through these months and continue to do what we've been doing and just kind of coasting and not taking those giftings that you placed in us and actually putting them into gear and doing something for you with them finally, or figuring out how to take those things and bring glory to your name. That's let this be a time of reflection that is not just what we think and understand, but that we actually apply it, that it takes traction in our life and helps us to move forward in a direction that honors you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to ask you this morning, I know many of us came up for prayer this morning earlier, but before we leave here today, I want to ask you, I don't want there to be an opportunity for you to leave this place. If you want Jesus to come into your heart this morning, maybe you come into this place just desperate. Man, you need, you've missed the Lord. You've strayed away from Him. You've done things that you're not proud of. Today's your day. You've come here today saying, Jesus, I just need you to forgive me. I want to repent of my sins. I want to make a new decision, a fresh choice for you today. I want to walk with you. I want to serve you today. Today's my day. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. Just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. If you want to pray and ask Jesus in your heart, just lift up your hand and put it right back down. Yeah, I see that hand. Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Today's your day. Oh, and it's a good day. Oh, it's a great day. It's an awesome day. Anybody else? Lift up your hand, put it right back down. Jesus, come into my heart. Today's your day. Anybody else? Okay. Let's all pray this prayer together out loud. Say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are God's Son. And I confess with my mouth that you died and that you rose again for my sins. I ask you today to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, wash me clean with your blood, and live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. I thank you that today is my spiritual birthday. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. My sins are washed clean, and I'm restored back to right relationship with God my Father. Now, Jesus, I thank you that as we have asked you to cleanse us, to be our Savior, I now thank you that you would help us to learn what it's like to make you our Lord, to allow you to guide us, to take charge of our lives, to direct us, that we would serve you, grow to be more like you, grow in relationship with you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for sealing this decision today by your Spirit, that you'd fill each one of us right now with a fresh infilling of your Spirit as we leave this place here in the next few moments. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to do for the Lord what you would have us to do, to represent him well in our speech, in our thoughts, in our actions. Holy Spirit, empower us to be like Christ. Help us to die to ourselves every day and to be raised up in newness of life in Jesus Christ in every area of our lives, so that the end result is we're more like you next Sunday than we are today, and every day in between, and every day until you take us home, every day until you return, every day, every day, every day, more like you, less like us. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said amen. These altars are open if you need continued prayer. We have some precious people on either side of me, as well as I could be up here. I'm up here. I'll be up here standing as well if you need prayer for anything. At home as well, if you need prayer for anything, post it in the notes. Let us know. We're happy to respond to you. Listen, If you receive the Lord today, I'd like for you to come up and just let's talk for a few minutes. But if you don't have a Bible, I want to give you a Bible. If you do, read the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read the book of John. Discover that Savior that you just invited into your heart. Take some time to dig in to that. But let's talk before you leave. Don't walk out of there until you come up here. And let's chat for a few minutes, okay? Again, altars are open for prayer. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a blessed weekend, the Lord. Be Christ to someone at Home Depot or wherever you go this week. Bye.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Join us next week as we continue to learn from God's Word and apply it to our lives.